نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي وقال تعالى في آية أخرى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our topic for today, Jumu'ah, my brothers, is the Islamic law of inheritance. We all know that the financial year comes to an end at the end of February, and we know the budget was presented. How are we prepared the day our death comes, which is inevitable, and then what happens to our heirs and our debts and everything else that are related to our estate? In Islam, this is a topic which Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned in detail in the noble Quran. And Almighty Allah mentioned both scenarios. If a person does it correctly according to the laws of Islam, Surah 4, verse number 13, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the supreme success. Listen to the next verse here, brothers, sisters in Islam. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and who disobeys Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, and then his will and estate is this, distributed willy-nilly, not according to the Sharia, then Almighty Allah states, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, Allah dispatches that person to the hellfire for a very, very long period. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, for such a person is a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Chapter 4, Surah 4, verse 14. Each one of us knows one day death will overtake us. Then what? The first thing we need to tell our family members, our heirs, there might be certain amanat. People left some money, people left some jewelry, people left some valuables, which do not belong to us, which will not constitute part of the estate, and that must be given back to the rightful owners. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, verily Almighty Allah commands you, the amanat and the trust that you have in your possession must be returned to the rightful owners. Secondly, brothers, then comes the burial, funeral expenses. All that will be taken from the estate of the deceased. However, if one of the heirs, family members or friends wishes to pay for all that, so that's fine, is acceptable. Third one is the debts of the deceased. Whether it is our personal debts, our business debts, corporate debts, our company debts. Today we know we deal with estates that are 30, 40, 50 years have passed and still the estate is not winded up. Imagine whether it's my father or mother or anybody else. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tuqda anhu. That person will not enter Jannah until and unless his debts are paid. So therefore, brothers, we need to attach great importance to this. You will find it is an emotional time. And the family members, many a time, now they want to give to this masjid, this madrasa, and this place, and that place. But the creditors are waiting, and they are not being paid. So that can never be justified. We must follow the sequence. First the amanat must be given to the rightful owners, then remember the burial funeral expenses, thereafter the all type of debts. Remember, even if the entire estate is used for that, so be it. And remember, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the difference between the Islamic system and capitalistic system. In capitalism you find that debts are glorified. Every second person must go into debt, and you just pay a deposit, and thereafter you are in debt for the next 10, 20, 30 years. In Islam, the hadith in Sunan Nasai, Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa dayn. Oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection from kufr, blasphemy and debts. The Sahaba, the beloved students of the Master alayhi salatu salam, were astonished and amazed. So waited dayna bil kufri ya Rasulallah. It's like you almost equated the two debts with blasphemy and disbelief. Qala na'am. The Master alayhi salam said yes. So therefore, as far as possible, lead a life that is debt-free. So we have no worry, no sorry. We don't have to look at the faces of the creditors. Our heirs, our family members don't have to worry. We know that we are leading a life that is debt-free. But we know in the corporate world sometimes that is not possible. And then we must have record and inform our heirs as well. Then the next step, brothers, will be wasiyah. Wasiyah is to bequeath, and that is for non-heirs, whether it is a person or whether it is a madrasa or masjid or some institution. Remember, this wasiyah, we get two types. One wasiyah is wajibah, is compulsory. A person did not pay zakat, a person did not perform a hajj, but the hajj was compulsory upon him or her. So these type of wasiyah will be compulsory and must be included in the will. And the one is nafil and voluntary. Give this masjid, give this madrasa, give that institution or person. Look at the justice system of Islam, my brothers. You had a neighbor who was a non-Muslim, but a friend in need or a friend indeed. So many a time he did us favors. The crooks entered our home. Oh, they were just about to enter our house, and we see that he was there, and he prevented any harm to take place. So in your world, you bequeath a certain amount, even for the non-Muslim. So that also is acceptable. Remember, in Islam, maximum amount is one-third of the total estate. So we will give and make sure the amanat, the trust are given to the rightful owners. Secondly, brothers, we should ensure the burial, funeral expenses, all that must be expedited. Paying the creditors, the debts, that also, remember, cannot be delayed. Justice delayed is justice denied. And then the third one is wasiyah. But remember, you cannot bequeath for the heirs. Today people want to give extra share to the son or the daughter, or we deprive one of the heirs. A person is so fed up, frustrated with his own son or daughter, and then he deprives her, for example, or him. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qata'a miratha warithihi, qata'a Allahu mirathahu min al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif, whosoever deprives the heir of their rightful share which Allah has given them, then you, the person, the testator, Allah will deprive you of the share you're supposed to receive in Jannah, meaning we don't enter Jannah. Think properly what we are doing, my brothers. Yes, this can happen. As far as possible, it's desirable, recommended, meritorious. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Fear Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, and exercise justice amongst your children. Remember, during your lifetime, you're giving your son, you're giving your daughter, you're giving your wives and so forth. MashaAllah, some people have 2, 3, 4 wives. So we're speaking of legal, not now mistress and all this type of thing. An elder for birth, you know, in Durban, you don't speak Afrikaans. And there in Transvaal, Gauteng, we speak Afrikaans up to today. So we say, Yen man's a dwert is another man's a brood, you know. One person dies, and then the estate, the bread, the loot, the money goes to somebody else. So anyway, you must exercise justice. So to give equally during your lifetime to your son and daughters, that is what Islam is prescribing. So the ratio 2-to-1 will become operative, effective after your death and demise. So understand the difference. However, there are circumstances, your one son or your one daughter is married to a doctor and pilot and a big shot engineer and politician, and the other one is married to the Maulana. So you know what happens then. So you decide to give to the daughter who's married to the Maulana much more because of circumstances, and you gave that one less, so she cannot complain. So even it is justified, remember there's no problem Islamically. But it must not be brazen favoritism, and that would not be acceptable. So we come now to the last portion, and that is the shares of the heirs. Now let us take certain pitfalls which are so common, rife and rampant in our society. Just this morning, I answered a question. The person said, my daughter is not speaking to her sister. Why is the daughter not speaking to her sister? 90% of the time, you will find there is problem regarding the inheritance, there is some business deal that went sour, and so forth. I saw this in my own eyes, my brothers and sisters in Islam. The father's body is still at home. We haven't even performed the janaza salat. But the two sons are already fighting for the Ferrari, the Lamborghini, or the Rolls Royce, or the... Who will get the car? Who? The father's body is still at home. Is this what you want, my dear brother? You made millions, you made billions, legal, illegal, Allah alone knows. We're not speaking of that. But we are speaking about your family's disunity, fragmentation. Who is going to make dua for you? They're more interested in the material wealth. Where they got time to even read one surah Yasin for the beloved father or mother? Think of these issues seriously. So my brothers, I just want to mention to you a few things you need to rectify and rectify immediately. Number one, I come to your house now. I won't come there now with an example. So brothers, if I ask you this wonderful carpet you have and the wonderful curtains and all the gadgets you have, who does it belong to? What is the inventory? Does it belong to the husband? Does it belong to the wife? Does it belong to the children? You will just see everybody is smiling, but still we won't know who the owner is. So every item in our house, in our shop, in our hair warehouse, we must know exactly who the owner is. Number two, you have a family business. The son is working with his father for the past 10, 20, 30 years. What is your designation? Are you a partner with your father? Are you doing it just on compassionate grounds? This is my beloved father. Are you an employee? And you will see when the person, the father, passes away. Now the two sons are arguing. One will say, I worked in the business 20, 30 years. And the other one will say, I only joined last year or 2 years ago. And that is a recipe for disaster. Number three, my brothers, we live in South Africa. How have we registered our matrimonial regime? How have we registered our nikah? You know that the world has to be Sharia, according to the Sharia, Sharia compliant, as you say. And it has to be according to the law of the land as well, because people can go and contest the world as well. So what do you do? So you register your marriage ANC, nothing to do with a political party. ANC, anti-nuptial contract, without excluding the accrual system. So this weekend, my brothers, therefore I chose this week, because February is ending, you know what you're going to do. You got your accountant, you got your lawyers, you got everybody involved. This money is so much the profits, these are the assets, these are the liabilities, these are the uplang. We know all this, right? Then we're going to make umrah and hajj with the uplang. Alhamdulillah, it's fine. I got no problem with that. So, I mean, we can have a problem, but Islamically, you understood, your umrah is valid. The point I want to make is this. Now you have to sit this weekend, my brothers, with your family, your wife, your children, and tell them that these are my assets and I want to distribute this in my lifetime. We don't know when death will come. Death is heavily hovering above our head. and can strike at any time. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Kullu nafsin zaikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Are we prepared for that? Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yabitu laylataini illa wa wasiyatuhu maktubatun indahu. O Muslim, O Muslimah, you should not allow even two nights to pass, but your word should be written already, prepared already. The Master is speaking of two nights, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us? 20 years, 50 years? No, my doctor told me, my physician told me, I'm still healthy and I'm strong as a horse. And I got many years. No one can give guarantee, my brothers. So that is one aspect. Second aspect, remember, you must ensure that your creditors, the people must know. How many a time we have seen that now people are fighting, and then we are going to court, and then to settle all these type of things. And then the whole family is disintegrated and fragmented. So make sure that all this is documented. Third one, whatever you want to give out now during your lifetime. Remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith. To give out one rain, one riyal, one rupee, $1 is better now. Wa anta sahihun shahihun. Why, if you are healthy and you still have that fear, maybe there will be a downturn in the economy. We don't know what the future holds. Then giving 100 at the time of death. Think about it. So whatever is compulsory upon us, let us ensure that we are fulfilling our wives, our daughters. How many a time? I give you 2-3 easy examples that are rife and rampant in our society. I'm not passing judgment on anyone. We have some old people, they're old but they're not cold, right? He's 60, 70, 75 years old. He takes a second wife. Meaning the wife passed away. So now he gets married. There's no problem with that Islamically. He wants a companion. But the son already, the daughters are saying, Father, you want to take this appa ma, they call her, the second mother and stepmother. So okay, we will give you blessings with one proviso. You tell her when you pass away, she will not inherit a 12.5% share. So you make that a condition with her, because when you gone, we don't want no problem with her. Who gives you, O son, O daughter, the right that you want to use a veto system for the right which Almighty Allah gave her? Imagine. So that lady now gets deprived, and you, the son, the daughters, enshrine and enrich yourself with ill-gotten gain, which Quran says, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا يُدْخِلُوا نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. And then you go to Jahannam forever. I receive all these type of queries and questions. It's totally haram to do that. Second one, I have seen wills where the brother writes that the house belongs to the wife, this belongs to the wife, everything. But like the insurance companies, in fine writing at the bottom you'll write, provided after his death, then she does not remarry anybody. Once tasted, never wasted. Can you do that? You want to dictate from the grave, brother. So it's unacceptable. After the iddah, she's free. She can marry whoever she wants to. Remember that. Third one, my brothers, remember that regarding the estate, whenever we are involved, then I always give this advice. Rather, one person or two brothers or sisters, someone just makes a bit of sacrifice, and you say that fine, give the car to him, give the house to her, or whatever it is, and I will just take the share. But in that way, we will maintain the unity of the family. If all the heirs are sane, all of them are mature, and you reach an amicable agreement, and there is no coercion, there is no duress, and each one of you are happy, it's fine Islamically. We call that sulah. We call that you come to a reconciliation, you come to an agreement, amicable, and Islam would accept that as well. So my brothers, my appeal to you is this, each one of us, before the weekend passes, today, don't come and tell me your son is in London and Dubai and here and there. Today we all got the media, we have our phones, we have social media. You can set up all your calls, conference calls, and you make your mashura and consultation. Do yourself that favor, please, my brother and sister. And in that way, inshallah, when we meet Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, we stand in the court of Almighty Allah, then as Muslims, we have fulfilled our duty. My 1-2 minutes that I have left, I have to make few announcements. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, there's a new school that just started, and Hafiz Hussein Wadi is in charge there. And last night I was there, and it is called the Darul Huda School. They just started today, so we make dua, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala makes the school a beacon of light, and inshallah that our children's iman can be protected and preserved as well. It's always the best that we start from the foundation phase, and so that the iman and Islam can be protected. Likewise, these brothers here, they have started and they launched a website of mine, and from today you can access it, inshallah. They in charge of it. Me, I don't understand half these things, but anyway, so the website, if you want to log on and you want to access it, is Mufti, M-U-F-T-I, A-K Hussein, A-K H-O-O-S-E-N, .net, and inshallah, you can access that as well for all the information and lectures and whatever else. And lastly, as I mentioned always, make dua that there's Avondale Musalla, that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala makes it a masjid, inshallah, and Allah reward our brother Muhammad Ikhlas, his brothers Muhammad and Ahmed and all of them, the entire family, the father, mother, and inshallah they are doing so much for the Muslims and everybody else. So Almighty Allah reward them in this world and in the year after and in the ending, my brothers, I beg you. Just now I translated the khutbah, and Sheikh Sudais was crying in the because you have to cry. If you know what is happening in Syria, an area called Ghouta. Ghouta is there next to Damascus, and the Muslims are being slaughtered indiscriminately. Our masajid are being demolished. Remember, the aerial bombardment is going on. Brothers, don't think we are in comfort zone and this will remain always. It won't remain. Always there's action and reaction. So sometimes when we're in comfort zone, we become oblivious of the plight of the Ummah. I beg you, brothers, make sure your world is ready. Where there's a world, then there's a way also. And likewise, daily, more so today, this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, cry to Allah for this Ummah in Syria, Palestine, Yemen, Iraq, Burma, so many areas. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala protect the Haramain Sharifain and Majlul Aqsa and make our Khatima on Iman. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.